continuing resolution and a shutdown fight.
The real meaning of due process.
And the movie Flow.
And good news in the legal fight against AI. Welcome to Downsampled News. And then we need some kind of music. Hello and welcome to Downsampled News. My name is Belok and I'm here with my father,
Richie.
And this is the very first episode of our new YouTube podcast, Downsampled News. Dad, what is Downsampled News? Because you came up with the name for the podcast.
Correct. So what happens in statistics when you have too much data, samples of data of some variable, and you want to not consider all of it, you just, what's called downsample, you just pick a subset of the data that you have. Now today there's a lot of news happening.
You know, I think you could call it a lot. You could characterize it as constantly like hitting us all the time. Yeah, you could.
But what's interesting is that a lot of the news of today, it's gonna not gonna be that relevant, you know, a month or 2 months or 3 months from now. So we kind of just picking some stories that we noticed and we'd like to talk about, and then we'll see if they're still relevant some months from now. But
Yeah. So basically, we're going to be doing this like once a month, usually around the end of the month.
Right.
So, because today's March 30th?
Yes.
Okay. It's early for me. It's before noon. So we're going to be doing this at the end of each month and looking back on stories that have happened. I think for the most part, though, we're in agreement. We want to avoid talking about Cheeto Dictator President.
Yes.
As much as we can. Not that those aren't important stories, but those are covered ad nauseum by lots of other people. So, like, check out the millions and millions of other political podcasts, and you can get lots of news about that. So we're trying to cover other stories that maybe slipped by. And, like, the stories you're bringing, I wasn't paying any attention to at all. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So starting with the first topic is your topic. So what did you bring today?
Okay. So my first topic is the continuing resolution and the fight over the government shutdown that happened in the middle of this month. So I'd like to explain a little bit what all this stuff is. I kind of follow congressional politics a little bit too closely. There is actually a newsletter called PAC News that I read every day practically. So I know way too much about it. But let me just kind of give you a little background on all of this. So if you remember your Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, sure.
How a bill becomes a law, right? So there are two houses of Congress. There's the House of Representatives and the Senate. And for a bill to become a law, bill has to pass the House and the Senate. And then it gets signed by president, becomes law. So the way government is funded, so there's a federal budget, and the budget has to be all the funding for the government has to be passed, originate in the House, right? And in theory, you know, in the kind of normal working way, they would pass bills to fund various parts of the government, you know, agriculture, defense, whatever else. However, because our government, especially the Congress people, fight a lot, they can hardly ever agree on a budget. Now, budget, federal budget runs from, October 1st to September 30th.
Okay.
When budget doesn't get passed, the government has to shut down. And there's a law that was passed back in late 1800s that basically said that unless there's a budget in place, a government is not allowed to operate. So that's the general kind of view of thing. And the other thing we'll talk about is some funky stuff in the Senate, filibuster and things like that. I'll get to that in a minute.
And we've seen government shutdowns a few times.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have been happening more recently meaning in the past like 30 years as opposed to back before then. What happened with the government funding last year that was kind of interesting, basically the House passed a whole bunch of bills funding the government, but the Senate never considered them.
Okay.
So when they last year around September 30th, they passed the continuing resolution just to fund. Continuing resolution means that basically you continue the funding at the whatever the budget last budget was.
Okay.
So nothing changes. That's called a clean CR. CR, continuing resolution, you know, CR, get it?
Yes.
So when...
They're so clever.
I know. So when you talk about, here, talk about clean CR. So while between September and December, and basically both Democrats and Republicans in the House, kind of they're working out, and they were putting together this large bill, which is called the Omnibus, which basically took all the bills that have passed so far that haven't been considered by the Senate yet, put it in a bill, then sort of agree what the funding should be for the government for next year. And then they send this whole big bill to the Senate, and the Senate in the past would pass the whole thing, and people always complain there's just too much in this one bill. Mm-hmm. But the reason for that is that the bills that the House passed have not been considered by the Senate.
So they're just sort of doing it all in one go.
Right, okay. Because there's a time limit. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately what happened in December, when this bill, you know, people in the House agreed, they passed it. I don't remember they passed it, but basically what's proposed was about to go up for a vote. Everything was arranged for it to pass and then go to the Senate. Then some guy named Elon Musk.
Oh, who's
tweeted,
that?
He tweeted.
I don't remember voting for someone named Elon Musk. That's so weird.
This was before. This was in 2024, oh. December 2024, and attacked this bill, right? Mm. And that scared all the Republicans.
I remember that. Yeah. Okay. Mm.
And basically, they said, "No, we can't vote for that anymore." Even though they all agreed that there was, like, you know, basically what the vote was supposed to be, formality. Basically, they broke the promise to Democrats.
Shock.
Democrats kind of got freaked out, and they wound up creating a stripped down bill. They removed lots of stuff from it that Elon didn't like, including things like, you know, funding for research for childhood cancer, right? Mm-hmm. Which later was inserted back in the Senate. But anyway, so they stripped down the bill and they basically had a funding of the government until March 15th.
Okay.
So.
And that's why it came back up. Oh, okay.
Right. So the reason was, again, this was not a like full funding budget, and because they agreed only on some things, and usually those kinds of CRs are very short term, like maybe a month or two. Mm-hmm. But Mike Johnson, who's the Speaker of the House, Republican Speaker of the House, wanted to kind of go past the election, past the inauguration, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, fine. So that's where we were. So now when time came between December and March, again, all the people in Congress, all Republicans and to some degree Democrats, although Republicans had been shutting Democrats out of of a lot of these discussions, because Republicans are the majority in the House and in the Senate since the new Congress started like beginning of January, right? So Republicans only have a fairly small majority in the House, like 3 or 4 seats. And so they were planning to produce real bills funding various parts of government, as you know, they would call it regular order. They were unable to pass any. So
they, being the Republicans, run people.
Well, Republicans run the House, so they decide what comes up for vote and what passes. They may have passed something. I haven't really looked exactly what was passed in the time, but basically, they said, okay, we have to do another CR to extend the funding of the government, otherwise we shut down. Now at this point Democrats are pretty pissed off by what has been going on, and are not in a cooperative mood. And
it's a fair characterization of it.
There were a couple of Republicans also who what they call themselves deficit hawks. They don't want to increase the government debt. We can that should be another topic for discussion, because I have some opinions on that. And so they said they would never vote for this, for the CR. Right? But there was some phone calls, some arm twisting, and the Republicans wrote the CR that wasn't quite a clean CR.
That's what I was going to say. I heard reporting of like a clean CR. Like the idea was to just whatever we had before, just keep it going. But that's not what happened.
Right. So it's almost a clean CR, except they moved some funds around. So they gave more money to the Department of Defense, because, of course, and they took money from what's called discretionary spending, which is like programs like Medicare, Medicaid, well, not Medicare, maybe Medicaid, education, things like a bunch of stuff that got Democrats even pissed off more. Mm. Right? So in the House, none of Democrats voted for this, or maybe one voted for this. So, but it did pass because they then it went through the Senate. Mm. And now we get into these weird Senate procedures. Right? Mm-hmm. So you may have heard of this thing called filibuster.
Mm. I have over the years heard of this thing called filibuster, yes.
Filibuster is something, it's like an old tradition in the Senate. It's where you can continue debate, you know, quote unquote, debate on the bill as long as you want. Mm-hmm. Senators can talk and talk and talk and talk. And it used to be called talking filibuster. Then they kind of optimized it so you don't have to say, you don't have to sit, stand there and talk. You can just say, I filibuster this bill. And to overcome filibuster, you need 60 senators to vote for it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's called a cloture vote. Cloture is like a French word, I believe. Mm-hmm. That kind of means end the debate.
Mm-hmm. So they don't have to actually stand there and talk anymore? They can just be like,
no.
I'm threatening to stand here and talk.
Yep.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
come on. They should have to actually stand there and talk. Anyway.
Yes, and there's been discussion about
put
that.
Put some effort in. Like, if you're going to filibuster, I want read some books out loud to us, you know?
Yeah. There was one filibuster where Ted Cruz was reading from Greens Again Ham.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. I mean, but they should have to. I want the performance. Anyway.
Right. So anyway, so Democrats in the Senate, because Republicans have 54 senators, could say, should we filibuster this bill and not let it pass? Or should we allow the vote on it? Mm. And so the leader of senators and Democrats in the Senate is Chuck Schumer.
Yep. And our boy.
And our boy. Initially, he was he indicated that he was willing to filibuster and let the government shut down. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, he changed his mind. Right, and he said, "No, I think we should. Even though this is a bad CR, it's a bad bill. Shutting the government would be worse." And a lot of Democrats are very mad at him for that.
Yeah, myself included.
So let me explain. So I am on the fence for the following reason. When the government closes, you know, there's no funding, and the executive branch decides who are the essential workers. Mm-hmm. And those people have to come back to work. They don't get paid. They just have to work. And then eventually they will get paid for the time. Mm-hmm. Right? The other people get furloughed. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets paid. If the shutdown lasts for 30 days, anybody who's furloughed can be laid off. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the Office of Budget Management, which is the office inside the White House.
Right, yeah.
That decides this stuff. Mm-hmm. So this would be, and this guy, Elon somebody?
Elon Musk. Musk. I think it was Mr. Musk.
Mr. Musk. Was all gung-ho saying wanting the government to shut down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the upshot was that Chuck Schumer and I think five other Democrats voted for cloture.
Right.
So the vote on the bill, and the vote on the bill was, of course, just all Democrats voted against it, but because Republicans were in majority, the bill passed. So we have a CR. And the other thing they did with the CR is they made it go till September 30th. So it's basically finishes up the year.
The year, yeah. So when will this come back? This will come back up in September?
In September, it's going to, they have to pass a new budget for the next year. So that was kind of the play. I think shutdown would be very dramatic, but you could say, you know, OMB could decide that judiciary, that courts were not essential, and just shut all the courts down. Mm-hmm. Right, so.
Yeah, so I didn't follow this as closely as you, so thank you for giving the background, because I didn't know the procedural history of it. I'm also of two minds about it, because the main argument I heard against shutdown is exactly what you were saying, that the administration and Elon, Mr. Musk, would have loved to have the shutdown because they would have had all this control to do these things that were, you know, illegal or corrupt or whatever. My counter to that is, what's stopping them from doing that now? They're already doing things that are illegal and corrupt. Well, and there is some remedy coming in terms of, like, the courts, for example, that reinstated the 25,000 or so federal workers and gave them back pay, which means we wasted a bunch of money, like, so much for government efficiency.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. I mean, I do think the correct play would have been for the Democrats to hold firm and shut it down. I do think that would have gotten them something in the deal. That's right. The thing.
Well,
because if you just shut down, like if they were unreasonable, if the Democrats just said, we're shutting down, we're never voting for it, there's no circumstance in which you can make us happy to vote for it. That's kind of silly. But if you say, I'm not voting for it unless you restore funding to children's cancer or guarantee thus and such thing in this bill, then there's a bar for them to meet and you can negotiate and get there.
Right, except yeah. Basically Republicans said no.
Well, so, they called the bluff, basically.
Right, so...
So, and that's the problem, is that there was like a game of chicken and the Democrats were like not even really playing.
The Democrats actually proposed a clean CR in the Senate.
Right.
But it never came up for a vote. And the Republicans just kind of ignored it. People were suggesting that one way to fight it would be to vote only for a short-term CR, so you could mm-hmm. have this fight every month or something. Again, I think in this case, Democrats are more concerned with keeping the government open mm-hmm. and having people working mm-hmm. and getting paid, even if some people are getting laid off and stuff, because you can fight against that. Versus having a whole slew of people just all of a sudden be dumped and with completely unknown mm-hmm. Future. So,
I just think it would be really unlikely for a government shutdown to last more than 30 days. I'm trying to think. There was one under Trump
yes.
during COVID that
yes.
was long.
No, there was one in 2017, I think.
Yeah.
That was quite long. So,
yeah.
And in this case, they would exploit that.
Yeah, it's difficult because either way, there's positives and negatives, right? So it's
well,
like,
it's negative or very negative. There's no positives, really.
Well, the other problem is that it very much and if you guys haven't figured it out now, we're both very liberal Democrats. it very much hurt the Democrats' reputation. That's part of the problem, right? Is that like, it's very easy now for people on the wide internet to fairly critique the Democrats and say, what are they doing? They're just going along with the Republicans, and it's true. That is what happens.
Well, but that's what happens when you don't have majorities in Congress, right? So there's only certain things you can do. And this was one of the mm-hmm. things that was essentially shooting the hostage. Yeah. So, and Democrats don't like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I'm not really on either side of this.
I agree. It's... You know, if you have to really prioritize like the least amount of harm to the most people, but then what will the impact be long term?
Right. You know? Well, you can't predict.
We'll be back in September to let you know.
Well, maybe we can talk about the debt ceiling next time.
Ooh, I'm interested in your opinions on the deficit, so we could definitely put that in as a segment topic for sure.
Anyway, so that was the fight. I think that was kind of an important thing that happened. Mm-hmm. I think the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Congress was weakened terribly. And there's many people who were calling for Chuck Schumer to step down. And in a way, you know, he went against his party mm-hmm. and for the greater good, you hope, but we don't know how it's
going to turn out. We don't know how it's going to turn out, yeah. No, that's good.
Okay.
So... My first topic, and what we're trying, after we didn't say this in the beginning, what we're trying to do is do two kind of more serious topics and then two more fun topics. But we're going to end on the fun topics. So if you feel depressed now, you're going to get a little bit more depressed with me, and then we'll be happy again. Okay, I promise. So my topic broadly is what is due process? Because I'm sure everyone has seen in the news the immigration crisis happening right now with particularly, I want to speak about the Venezuelan men who are being rounded up and just like shipped off to an El Salvadorian prison, because that's very, very bad for a lot of reasons. The specifics of those cases have been covered on lots of channels. So my critique is very specific. My critique is of other Democratic, liberal, leftist channels covering this story.
Okay.
And how they cover it. And it drives me a little bit crazy. And it kind of reminds me of how they covered Zelensky at the beginning of the month. So I'll explain. So what you hear and what I've heard repeatedly, and I'm not going to call people out except for Pod Save America because I have a bone to pick with them, but yeah, they're going to really care what we say on our little podcast. It's going to really hurt them that I don't like Pod Save America. What you hear generally, or what I've heard repeatedly from different channels on YouTube, on TikTok, in writing, in articles, in lots of different sources from liberal or Democratic commentators, is this focus on the fact that the immigration thing, that the rounding up and deportation, quote unquote, of Venezuelan men to the El Salvadorian prison is bad because these are innocent people who haven't done anything wrong. And there's this little comment that keeps popping up, and it's driving me crazy, where everyone's like, well, if they're gang members or if they're violent, like, go ahead. Like, if they've committed crimes, then, like, go ahead with it. And I understand what's happening there, but it is a red herring in this argument, and it's driving me nuts. So what's happening is the various commenters and news people are trying to sound reasonable. They're trying to sound like, I'm not defending a gang member. And they'll say things like, I'm not defending gang members.
Yeah.
They'll say, I'm not defending someone who's in a gang. I'm not defending someone who's done something violent. And it's sort of like I'm reasonable. Like, the gang members and the violent people, take them away. That's fine. That's not fine, because that's not how due process works. So due process is like a fancy legal term that doesn't sound like it means anything. What it means is that everyone who enters whatever legal system we're talking about, immigration, criminal, whatever, goes through the same steps. They go through the same procedure. And the reason is so that everyone is treated fairly and not prejudged, right? It's important to do that, to weed out people that have, quote unquote, not done anything wrong. It is just as important to do that for people who have, quote unquote, done something wrong, because they are still entitled to that due process. We have to do it for everyone, otherwise it doesn't work.
Correct.
So, like, if you think about, like, going to the doctor, three people go to the doctor. Everyone has to fill out, like, that initial form that's, like, it's like your, you know, yearly wellness check, like, how you feeling, whatever, mm-hmm. You know. Everyone fills out the same form. Everyone gets the same tests done. Everyone has their blood work done, all that stuff. Because two out of three of those people might be perfectly healthy, and that's fine. But maybe the other one isn't, and we don't know until we follow that procedure. When you don't follow that procedure at the doctor, you miss things, and people fall through the cracks, and your practice is hurt, and the person is hurt. So it's the same thing with due process. Everyone has to go through the exact same procedure. It bothers me so much when commenters on the internet who claim to be Democratic, liberal, leftist, wherever you fall on that side of the spectrum, or just anti-Trump too, because I watch a lot of the anti-Trump people as well, who would define themselves as conservative, but mm-hmm. are never Trump people. To try to say, like, if you're trying to critique the government for not following due process, but you're including the caveat that, like, you don't care about the guilty people, then you're missing the point completely. That's it. That's the whole point.
So there's a bit of history, right? This mm-hmm. all this stuff is in the Bill of Rights, which is kind of the very first amendment of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons there was an American Revolution was because we wanted due process. And, mm-hmm. and actually, that was the English Revolution that happened a few hundred years before mm-hmm. was also about that you could not be just arrested without it's called habeas corpus.
Yep, habeas corpus, yep.
I actually saw a clip of this famous liberal justice named Anton Scalia. He was asked.
Remember that? My blood pressure just went way up all of a sudden.
He was asked explicitly, saying, who does Bill of Rights apply to? And does it apply to immigrants, illegal immigrants? He says it applies to all the people, mm-hmm. anyone.
Anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
And the point is, like, you can't. So I'm a criminal defense attorney. So those of you who know me from other stuff, if you don't, I'm a criminal defense attorney. So this is very important to my work. I get the question a lot. How do you defend people who are guilty? I was like, well, first of all, it's not my decision whether they're guilty or not. That's the point of the process. But you have to apply it to everyone. Otherwise, the other option is just you're prejudging.
Yep.
And you're saying, like, even cases where it's really obvious, even cases where it's like super obvious what happened, and I deal with cases like that all the time, the person's entitled to representation, to, in the criminal context, representation, going through the evidence in their case, plea negotiations, motions, like there's still a process that needs to be followed, because if we don't do it for all, then we're doing it for none. It's basically what it comes down to. So, and I'll just add a little tag on to this because it sort of relates to Volodymyr Zelensky at the beginning of the month. And that was also in this month. So that's part of our downsampled news. So this my critique is of the critique of the liberal, of the other people like on different various platforms. Because I do think it's a subtle sort of thing they're saying that they're not understanding the very bad implication.
In other words, what you're saying is you want them to come out stronger for the Bill of Rights.
Yes, yes. And I think Democrats need to. Right. I think Democrats, liberals, leftists, everybody on the left side needs to take a stronger stance and just be like, because you saying we shouldn't be deporting people without them going through procedure, and then they come back and say, but these are violent gang members and terrible and they kill.
It's not relevant.
It's totally irrelevant. It's completely a red herring. Just ignore it. You just go back and you just repeat, we need to go through procedure. No matter who, I don't care who it is, we have to go through procedure. And if you go through the procedure, if they're really somebody who really was violent, whatever, they will get deported, but go through the procedure. A similar thing happened with commentary on the Volodymyr Zelensky incident at the beginning of the month, where Cheeto Dictator and J.D. Vance attacked Volodymyr Zelensky in that meeting. And where there were several commentators, Positive America being one, and Jon Stewart, who I love, who I don't think realized it, but were kind of like subtly blaming the victim, because they were saying like, well, Zelensky didn't handle that very well. Like, he should have done this. He should have done, whoa, whoa, whoa. If somebody's trying to start a fight with you and starts screaming at you for no reason, which is clearly what happened, it is not your fault. But it's again that like attempt to be like the attempt to appear reasonable and logical, which backfires in ways.
Both sidism a little bit.
It is. It's a little both sidism, and it's weak. It looks weak. Yeah. You know, it's like the Zelensky didn't do anything wrong at all. He was attacked in like what was clearly a planned attack, in my opinion. And the people who are being shipped out now to an El Salvadorian prison, it's irrelevant whether they did anything wrong. They still need to go through the procedure. And I wish Democrats and commentators on the internet would take a stronger stance on that in general, because I've seen cracks in the argument in that way all over the internet. So that's my complaint for this time.
Okay.
So now we're on to happy topics. If you've been depressed, that's okay, because now we're going to talk about nice stuff. So you brought us a movie, right?
Right. So I like animated movies, and there's this new movie that won an Oscar for the best animated movie this year. Mm-hmm. It was last year, actually. It's called Flow, right? So there's all kinds of interesting things about this movie. It was made in Latvia.
The country?
The country, oh, yeah, cool. By Latvians.
Oh, that's awesome.
And when it came out in theaters last summer in Latvia, it became the most popular movie ever in Latvia that was viewed by most people ever. So that was one interesting thing about it. The thing that I found interesting about it is that was made with a software called Blender. I don't know if you heard about it or not.
I've heard of it. What is it? Is it a drawing program?
It's more than that. So it's Blender is a kind of modeling animation and graphical tool. Mm-hmm. The thing about Blender is that Blender is open source, meaning it's free and people all over the world develop it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I happen to be a software engineer and one of my friends is a contributor to Blender.
Oh, really?
He actually works on some of the modeling. So
is Blender the program Chris uses to do modeling?
Yes.
So my brother, his son, you might know Chris.
Yeah.
You met him a few times. He does 3D printed models and then paints them gorgeous. Yeah. And that's where I've heard of it then, from Chris using Blender,
Right. So Blender is this tool. So I just looked up some information about the film. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about it took them about 5 years to produce the film. It was mostly two guys working.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, so like two guys at like after work were working on. That's great.
So the interesting about the movie, right? So it's Latvian, so you'd think you'd have to know Latvian or something. There is no dialogue. Right, the movie is about a group of animals, and the main character is a black cat.
Oh, I gotta watch this. I've seen clips. I know now. Yes. I know what you're talking about. Now I remember. Yes.
So the kind of basic story is that this black cat is kind of roaming around this pretty forest, and a huge flood happens, mm-hmm. and he winds up in a boat with a bunch of other animals, mm-hmm. and they're kind of friends. And there's a capybara.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
a golden retriever. Mm-hmm. A lemur, which is like this monkey, and what they call a secretary bird, this kind of large bird, and they kind of, you know, hang out in this boat and do stuff, and there's some great scenes in the movie, and there's no dialogue, so just animal sounds. So like the for example, the cat meows, does meows and stuff, and hisses, and the way they created the sound, they recorded actual animals. So the guy who made the movie has a cat.
Aww.
And he tried to record the sounds of the cat.
Yeah.
And of course, the cats, being cats, they don't
cooperate.
So he had to put microphones around his house hidden so that he could capture the sounds as they happen. The only one that couldn't get was the capybara sounds. Mm. They went to the zoo where they had capybaras, but the capybaras are very quiet animals. Yeah. They don't say much. So I think they wound up using baby camel sounds for the capybara.
Oh, interesting.
And so there are dogs and stuff. So there's a whole plot that happens.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of genius to make a movie, especially nowadays with like how international movies are, to make a movie that has no dialogue so that any audience could watch it.
Right.
It's great.
So the other interesting thing about this movie was the whole budget for the movie was like $4 million.
Oh my God. That's nothing. In case you don't know where movie budgets, that's nothing.
The next animated movie that was nominated that didn't win was Wild Robot, which we saw. That budget was $78 million.
Oh my God.
So it's like 20 times more, roughly.
If you haven't seen Wild Robot, you should watch it. It's very good.
Anyway, so I watched this movie. It was lots of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's surprisingly good for a movie about just a bunch of animals roaming around.
Mm-hmm. And it won the Academy Award?
It won the Academy Award for the best animated movie.
That's awesome. So, for a movie made by two guys in Blender. That's so cool. I love that. That's fantastic.
That shows you the possibilities. So if you haven't seen this, I recommend seeing it.
Well, again, now I gotta go watch it.
So that's my happy story.
Good. I also have a happy story related to computers.
Okay.
So my happy story is the fact that our ancient copyright law that has existed for quite a while is somehow prepared to handle AI in what I think is the appropriate way, which is kind of cool. So I'm a criminal defense attorney by practice, but I don't know if you know this, Dad. I'm currently getting an LLM in intellectual property law. I think you might be aware that I'm doing that.
Thank you.
So I actually took copyright in school this semester. So while copyright is not my area of practice, I did recently learn about these kind of things. I got an A- in that class, so you're gonna get like A- level analysis right now. So if I'm wrong, don't blame me. I didn't get all the multiple choice questions correct. So generally speaking, when you want, in the United States, when you're asking, do I have copyright protection over something? To potentially have copyright protection, you need to have an original work by an author that is fixed in a tangible medium. Those are your requirements. So what does that mean? Original, super low bar, just means you didn't copy it. Fixed in a tangible medium means it's in some physical form. So you're writing a novel, you have a draft in, you know, you wrote a few sentences in your Google Doc, you have a potential copyright claim over that. Music has to be recorded in some way, whether that's sheet music or audio recording, that kind of stuff. So some kind of way where it's like reproducible. You can look at it again, you can play it again, that kind of thing. Author has been well established to be a human author. Well established to be a human author. In fact, there's cases on this. There's a great case called, generally referred to as the Naruto monkey case. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No.
Okay, so you see this picture here of this here monkey? This is a selfie that was taken by that monkey. So it was the photographer was out taking pictures. The monkey took his camera, turned it around, and accidentally took a selfie of himself smiling, right? Super cute. Very famous photo. The photographer wanted to be able to get money and have rights over this photo, because a lot of times you can't get money over in a creative work unless you have a copyright protection. It depends, but generally. And the copyright office said, nah, you didn't take the picture. Monkey took the picture. And he's like, but it's my camera. Yeah. And the photographer's like, but that's my camera. And they're like, too bad, so sad. nobody can own the copyright. So I can put it up on this video because nobody can own the copyright to it because there is no human author. It's well established in our case law that to own the copyright to anything, you need to have a human author. So enter AI. And for once, our existing law is like very much capable of handling this issue and is handling this issue. So there's been two cases recently where courts have said your AI generated content is not copyrightable, which I think is ultimately good for artists. So I'll tell you about the cases. The first was Thomson
Reuters.
I always say this name wrong. They're the people that own Westlaw, which if anybody knows what Westlaw is, Westlaw is like a legal search engine. It's the best legal search engine. If anyone says LexisNexis is the best legal search engine, they're wrong. And nobody uses Bloomberg, so don't even worry about that. But Westlaw is the best way.
No, I worked for Bloomberg at one time.
Well, their search engine's awful, so. So basically, the Thomson Reuters case was more or less Westlaw was suing because an AI engine was scraping things off of Westlaw and creating like briefs and stuff like that, like legal AI stuff. Westlaw sued and won. And the copyright office said, your AI generated text is not protectable. Your AI generated written words is not protectable because you do not have a human author. Like, not even getting to the question of like, is the AI intelligent? Is it creating something original like that? Because it might arguably be creating something original. You know, there's a debate there. But the courts are just like, this is not a human author. We don't even get there. There's no human that authored it. It's done. We're done with that. Similarly, there's been this case going on forever. So the name of the work is A Recent Entrance to Paradise. And I'll put a picture up here. And it's a beautiful image, but it is an admittedly AI-generated image. It was an AI program that created this image, harvesting from other images. And the court, this court was another appeals court. So both are appeals courts, I think both in DC actually. Now this case has been going on forever because I learned about this case in my copyright class in the textbook. So it's been going on for a long, long time. I think since 2018,
ooh,
he's been trying to get copyright protection. And the courts are just like, no, there's no human author. You can't copyright this. What does that mean? Well, that means that we're free to put these pictures up on the screen and not get sued, which is great. But it's a really good protection for artists because if you're going to use AI generated content, but you can't make any money from it, then you're not going to use AI generated content, right? So it's like, if you're in a position where you're trying to make money from art, you can't just go into an AI database, make a few different images, and then start selling them because you don't have copyright protection on those. There's another question about whether the artists whose work your AI art is based on can sue, and that's also sort of addressed in these cases.
Well, there are other cases happening now, which probably are good topic for future, is where a couple of these large companies like OpenAI and Google are trying to say, oh, fair use applies here. We can suck up anything we want and to train these models.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think they're trying to lobby Congress to basically pass a law to allow that. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Right. So there's sort of two different questions. So the first is like, can I copyright my AI generated content? The answer seems to be no.
Right.
There's no human author, so you can't copyright it. That robs a lot of the value from AI generated content. But then the other question is, can I use AI generated content without infringing on someone else's copyright? And actually, the Reuters case, if I recall correctly, does address that. And they said it was an infringement. That court said that the AI using the Reuters information was an infringement of the Reuters copyright in their written work. So the courts at least seem to be moving against AI in order to prevent it from being copyrightable and to also protect the artist or the writer, whoever it is, who created the work the AI pulled from. So it's interesting.
So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What if I am an author that wants to write a book and then generate illustrations using AI?
Mm-hmm.
Can I sell that?
Nope. I'll say it this way. Your AI generated images do not have copyright protection.
Correct.
So can you sell them?
No, I mean, I want to sell the book. So I have a book which is illustrations generated with AI. So it's so part of the work is done by an author, part of it done by AI.
So you can sell it. Again, this is my A-minus level analysis. So take it with a grain of salt. If I'm wrong, you could tell me in the comments. It's fine. You can sell it, but you don't have a protection for those images. So if someone, let's say it was like a regular book.
Mm-hmm.
If someone took it and made copies of it, and started selling it, you could sue them and stop them.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, that's my copyright, you're infringing upon. But if you had an art book of all AI generated images you're trying to sell, and someone else copies it all and starts selling it themselves, and they're way more successful at selling it than you can't stop them because you have no protection on that work. You can still sell it. The question then would be, can the artists whose work the AI images was based on sue you for that? And the answer is potentially yes. So that's kind of the area that's still developing.
Yeah, I mean, the whole question of using AI to do part of your work is kind of an interesting question when it comes to code, you know, because if, normally, if you write some program that you want to sell, an app for the phone, I can sell it, right? And I can copyright it. Right? Mm. And somebody can steal it because it's copyright. Now, if I wrote part of the code using AI, how can you tell which parts are copyrighted, which ones are not?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody takes it, they can say, look, it's AI generated. I can just do whatever I want with it.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely an interesting question. Like, what happens when there's a combination of both things? That's going to be a really interesting question in, I think, the movie and media space going forward.
And software.
And software I don't know as much about. Movie stuff I know more about.
Very similar, you know.
Yeah. So. I mean, the generally, from what I've seen in, cases, is that the copyright office will, really get down to the granular and be like, okay, if you have 10 sections of your code, let's say, one was AI generated, the other 9 you wrote, that one section can probably just be copied by anybody. But is it useful without the rest?
The problem is that the way some of this is done, it's almost impossible to separate. Because I generate a page of code and say, okay, but this is almost right, but a little bit of wrong, so I fix it by hand.
Well, there's another interesting AI case. Gosh, I forget what the name of the case is. This is one of the very first AI cases. I'll try to find a picture of it to put up here, but it was an art image that the artist submitted for some competition or whatever, but he admitted that the original image was AI generated. So he got like a basic concept from the AI, but then he painted it. And the copyright office said it can't be copyrighted because it was originally made in AI. It was so weird, right?
So that's interesting. I have a friend who published a book last year with illustrations. It's a book about witches and stuff. And what he did, he generated some images with AI, but then hired an artist saying, this is kind of what I want, please do a drawing. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of similar.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of the problem is figuring out if people did that, right? So a lot of these cases, like the Paradise case I was just talking about, the artist was just upfront and said, I made this because they have a point. Like they want to try to copyright something that is AI generated. They're trying to challenge that concept, but people could be using AI. We have no idea.
But you could argue that because I'm the person driving the AI, it's like if I use a brush, you know, brush can't produce anything. So, you know, anything produced by a brush cannot be copyrighted because brushes don't do things.
Well, so the thing about the way the court has been, like, getting, this is, again, like, very granular argument, they're getting at that originality aspect. So, again, for copyright, you need to have an original work mm-hmm. by an author that's fixed in a tangible mm-hmm. medium. So the originality concept, courts have sort of been landing on, an AI cannot produce anything original because it's pulling other sources, which then begs the question, like, does the human brain produce anything original?
Exactly. You know,
like, as the, do we have originality? Like, what is that? Like, so it's a really interesting question that is definitely still being litigated. For me, I think in terms of AI use, I think if you're trying to, like, an image, for example, if you're trying to create an image that you want to sell, you should not be using any AI. No AI inspiring you, no AI just to get a feel for it, nothing like that. If you're trying to use an image that you never would have paid for anyway, like, you're not gonna go hire an artist to do or whatever, like, I'm less offended by that because it's not like it's like stealing a work opportunity from an artist. But it also gets sticky because then whose art is part of that AI? Are they allowing it to be? So one of the ideas to sort of fix this is to put into, like, the various apps and things and websites permissions to either let your things be used by AI or not, which would kind of solve this issue, you know, would lead, help to solve this issue. I think if you're, like, an artist posting on Instagram, for example, your paintings, and you say, I'm fine with my paintings being used for generative AI, then you've given permission, you know? I think the problem they run into is that a lot of people would say no to that. So courts may be doing the right thing. Hey, yay, we got one. Okay, so those were our topics from this month. That's our downsampled news from this month, March 2025. But there's potentially new stories coming up. I know I'm following one for next month, which should come up relatively soon, which is the TikTok ban.
Okay.
So the TikTok ban was supposed to go into effect in January. It went into effect for like 12 hours and it came back. It was very dramatic. And it was kicked out 90 days, which that 90 days comes up in April. So big question about what will happen there. It is a law that was passed by both houses and signed by the president and affirmed by the Supreme Court. I don't want it to go into effect because I think it's a terrible infringement on First Amendment rights, mm-hmm. as I have covered, ironically, on my TikTok. but it really should go into effect. But who knows what this administration's going to do.
Right.
So do you have any new stories you're looking at that's coming up?
I'm kind of following stuff that's going on in Congress. The next kind of big fight is going to be over debt ceiling. So maybe
when's that?
Who
April?
Knows?
Oh, who knows?
depending where you look, we're going to hit the debt ceiling either in May, or June, or sooner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And debt ceiling is a silly law anyway, but it's
maybe a future topic.
Okay.
And downsample news.
And I also follow AI a lot, so if anything interesting happens in AI, we can talk about.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on the first episode of Down Simple News. We hope you enjoyed our rambling. Like and subscribe. This is a show on the Barely Functional Bee Network. So we'll have this once a month. And then I have my Barely Functional Bee show whenever I manage to film and edit.
You manage to function.
Whenever I manage to function, which is barely. other places you can follow us. I don't know if you have any other places for them to follow you that you wanted to plug.
No, I'm on Blue Sky, but...
Okay. I'm on Blue Sky at BLock. I post a lot, or I try to post a lot there about new stuff, but I'm also on TikTok as BLock. Obviously, I'm here on YouTube, our Barely Functional Bee. And I'm also on Substack as BLock. I've been writing a science fiction zombie story, releasing weekly pieces. If you guys want to read that, that'd be cool. I think that's everything that we got. All right, thanks so much, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye. government shutdown fight.
The real, oh shoot, I fucked it up. Try it again, take two. Cartoon? That's for me.
Actually,
sorry.
I can be Richie B.
You want to be Richie B? That's fine.
Because that's what I'm going to email everywhere, so.
Articles, because it's, I can't ever say the name, Thompson Reuters?
Reuters.
Reuters. That's how you say it? I don't know, it's not spelled like Reuters at all.